Physical marketing, like postcards, magazines, flyers, and print media, has taken a backseat over the last numerous years to digital marketing. Every business wants to crush social media, crush video, crush email, as they should. This is in no way me saying those channels aren't worth pursuing. However, not at the expense of dismissing what's worked historically. A lot of folks say, hey, postcards are old school. I say that's wrong. It all boils down to who are you talking to, how are you talking to them, and what needle are you trying to move? Because physical marketing may be the very ticket your brand needs to scale and grow and create consideration within your local community so that more buyers and more sellers think of you when the time comes to buy, sell, invest, or refer. So today's conversation is a highly critical conversation that could be a make it or break it defining moment in terms of the brand you're building with the marketing that powers that brand as to what channels are you going to leverage now in 2023 and integrate into your business plan in 2024. So welcome to This Week in Marketing. My name is Jason Pantana. I'm your host, and this is going to be a super fun conversation as I'm going to be joined with an expert in the world of physical marketing, talking about magazines, postcards, headlines, what works, what doesn't work, how do you track, how do you measure, what are the KPIs that are going to showcase whether or not what you're doing is working. So if you're looking to level up your brand, and I hope you are, because right now there's a line of demarcation that separates the rich and the rest in the marketplace, and we know the agents and the teams that are winning and crushing at the highest level, they have strong brands. They're integrated into their communities and folks are coming to them because they're absolutely top of mind and they're on that consideration set. And physical marketing may be the piece that's been missing in the puzzle of building your brand. So I'm so stoked for this conversation and I'm joined by an expert in the field, Mr. Luke Acree, who is the president of Reminder Media. Luke, thank you so much for being on the show today. How are you, man?
Dude, I'm amazing, man. And after that intro, man, I am fired up. That is incredible. I do a podcast myself and I'm sitting here in awe. Like, man, that was an incredible intro. So well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you. The fact is, I'm a fan of your work. And so introing you and introing the topic was highly easy. So for folks who aren't watching, let's do a quick little flyover. Tell them who you are and what your focus of expertise is in the realms of real estate marketing.
Sure. So appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk to everybody. So Luke Acree, I'm the president of Reminder Media. Reminder Media, for those who don't know, we're a marketing company. And really our specialty has been in relationship marketing, referral-based marketing, for been around for about 18 years. Work majority with real estate agents. So we'll work with about 70,000 real estate agents. And our specialty from a product standpoint has been customizable magazines. So maybe people have heard of American Lifestyle Magazine. That was our flagship product we launched with. We now have multiple, but we ventured into postcards years ago. And so we really have ventured into this print space in a big way. And that's really where I've spent the majority of my time. And that's really, you know, what we do every single day for agents.
I love that. And, you know, a lot of folks are like, wow, 70,000 folks doing, that's incredible. Especially when everybody thought everybody who does direct mail went out of business. So what have folks who have been not paying attention to postcards and magazines and physical mail, what have they been missing out on?
Yeah, I mean, I ultimately believe in omnipresent marketing, right? So that's my fancy way of saying, like, I think you should be everywhere. I think you should be on social. I think you should be in email. I think you should be in the mailbox. I actually think the mailbox is being ignored right now, and there's an opportunity. I think the stats show it. If you look up the stats, I think the average person is getting two pieces of direct mail a day versus the person getting 100 plus emails a day. So there's a lot of noise, right, on the digital space. And because marketers, when we see something that works, we all run there, and it creates a bunch of noise and it's harder to cut through. The reason why I think print is really successful right now is because print can still capitalize on something really key for especially real estate agents. Referrals are the number one source that you should be driving in your business, is my belief. And print marketing allows you to connect more emotionally with your database than digital marketing does. And it was interesting, the U.S. Postal Service did a research study with Temple University, and they were trying to understand the difference between digital marketing and print marketing. And one of the biggest things they found is that print marketing has a better ad recall than digital marketing. And it makes sense if you think about it, because you're seeing ads all the time, the amount of emails you get. So you're more likely to be able to recall the print piece in your mailbox. But what I thought was more interesting about the study was that people had a deeper emotional response when they did this study, and they literally tracked not only where people's eyes went, they actually put sensors on people. They actually were tracking how they actually responded, and they found that people responded even more emotionally or got more emotionally tied to the print advertisement than the digital advertisement. And why I point that out is because I think in referral-based marketing, it's what? It's about getting people to know, like, and trust you. It's about building an emotional connection with your audience so they see you as a person, they see you as that person they trust. And I think you're missing out on an opportunity to do that if you don't have a piece of print marketing in your drip program.
So there's so much I want to unpack there. First, I'm curious what the kinesthetic involvement was, the touch, because you think about emails, you think about social and videos. And again, you all watch the show. If you do watch the show, you know this is predominantly what I talk about on this show. However, the touch has to be a factor too in terms of helping to send those signals of an emotional response to marketing. And the other piece I think about, and this is a psychology principle I get into pretty often when it comes to fundamental beliefs about marketing. You see, I believe, like you, this is a referral-based business predominantly. I'm all for lead gen, but we know that roughly 60 to 70% of all deals, buyers and sellers in the US, are gonna be the result of a referral or a repeat business. So that relationship marketing is absolutely critical for any agent looking to build and scale and maintain their level of business on an ongoing basis. It has to be the relationship. But this psychology principle that I think about a lot is called the frequency illusion. You made the comment about being omni-channel, being everywhere, so to speak. And Tom Ferry says all the time, you're that agent, I see you everywhere. And that's the magic phrase in terms of knowing that you're on people's radar. You're getting their attention. And what the frequency illusion tells us in a marketing context is that when a customer or a prospective customer is exposed to the messages and marketing of a brand or a business across multiple different mediums, it has a higher recall to your point. It has a higher remembrance to your point because it says it creates the illusion that they're seeing and hearing from you more frequently than you really are because they got the email, they saw you on Facebook, and they got the in the mailbox, the actual postcard, for instance. And it's like, oh, there they are again. So I think we're very aligned. I mean, my first question I was going to ask you is, what are your core principles about real estate marketing? I think we sort of unpacked it, but is there anything else you'd add to that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I went through a process about a year ago where I was trying to break down, because we've been at this for so long, and I was trying to understand, what is it about marketing campaigns that really are successful and work? What do they have fundamentally that the ones that have failed, and trust me, I've done a lot of failed campaigns myself, that have failed, why didn't they work? And it was interesting in looking at all these different marketing campaigns that we've done over the years, right? And what I found was there's three core things that you need in your marketing. And I boiled it because I'm a marketer. I can't help myself. I put it in an acronym called FIT. And FIT stands for frequency, impact, and trust. And just quickly on that, it's most people don't understand when it comes to marketing, you're probably spending too much time trying to design the perfect piece. I've been there, done that. And you don't realize that it's actually probably more important that you have frequency than the perfect piece, because frequency is what creates familiarity. And you'll never get to trust. Everybody knows Zig Ziglar's know, like, and trust. You'll never get to trust without familiarity. You can't create familiarity without frequency. A perfect example of this is me on this podcast. If this is the first time you're ever hearing of Reminder Media or Luke Acree, then your trust in me is probably naturally low, not because I've done something wrong. I just haven't been frequent enough, right? If you start listening to my stuff, if you start seeing me more often, like you're saying in these different mediums, your familiarity will rise and your trust will naturally rise from that frequency. And this is one thing that I always ask people is, how frequent should you be? That's the million-dollar question, right? If frequency is a core fundamental, how frequent should you be in your mailers, in your email, in your drip? And I always tell them this, and if you're taking notes right now, if you're in the car, don't take notes. I don't want you to wreck. But if you're taking notes right now, I would tell you, write this down. The magic number that we've seen over 18 years of doing this is more, M-O-R-E. Meaning, I was homeschooled, so maybe I'm confusing numbers with words, but it is more than you're doing today. So if you're doing 12 touch points a year for your database, you should be doing 13. If you're doing 100, you should be doing 101. I have a client, Brian Harris. He's top 1% in the financial advising world. He's in Annapolis, Maryland. He does over 200 touch points to his database a year. Over 200. Now, most people, when they hear that number, they go, man, that seems like overkill. But the reality is Brian Harris is capitalizing on what you talk about, which is he's not just doing 200 pieces of direct mail, 200 emails, 200, let's say, client events, right? Because that'd be impossible. He's doing 200 touch points spread across all those six different frequencies that you can do to be able to really get him in front of people. And the result of that has been for him, hey, he's always in front of people, never overbearing. And so I always tell people, look, the fundamentals to marketing is you got to be frequent. And I would tell you a good benchmark is at least 26 touch points. So when we're designing touch point campaigns for people, we try to get them to at least 26 hitting their list and build from there. They have to have impact. And we could talk about impact for a long time because I think that's really where the home run is. And then you've got to have trust. And trust to me is built by your accolades, by your experience, by your testimonials. There's a lot of things you can do on print marketing to showcase trust to your target audience to get you elevated there. So if you are fit in your marketing, you're not out of shape, you'll be getting a good conversion, you'll be getting a good return on investment.
I love that. It almost seems like trust is the, it equals trust. And I think your comments before about familiarity, certainly that's a factor because when something's new and unknown, it's untested. But when something's been there for a while and they get accustomed to seeing it again and again and again, there's a level of, we talk about this in other videos. We call it the mirror exposure effect, which is another principle of psychology that impacts marketing where what's really happening is the customer who's becoming familiar with your brand is mistaking familiarity for trust. And it looks like trust in this seamless process of they've been there, they're road tested, I can trust in them because time has elapsed where I have a level of comfort. No doubt you recognize the importance of having a strong brand, online, offline, all the above, but the challenge is digital marketing, online marketing can be quite challenging and there's a real learning curve to it. So if you're looking to dial in your social media strategy, your Google business profile strategy, your video strategy, your email marketing strategy, make sure to click the link in the description to learn more about Marketing Pro, a series of online courses led by me. They're yours to be watched as many times as you want with step-by-step screen sharing demonstrations to take you from rookie to rockstar with your email marketing, your social media and video marketing, your local SEO and reviews through your Google business profile. Click the link in the description for all the details. I really like the fit analogy. Let's do take a moment and talk about the impact piece. What does that eye look like from an impact standpoint?
Yeah, so most people make this mistake. They get into business and they go, okay, I need to go tell the world that I'm in business. So what do? You start marketing to your list purely with things about your business and everything becomes promotional. Everything becomes transactional. And most people, when they do their postcards or they do their print advertising, it's all transactional and promotional. The problem with that is you need some of that, but put yourself in the consumer's shoes. You've bought a piece of furniture before. You've bought maybe a car before. When your furniture store sends you the emails or sends you the postcards, your car dealership sends you the postcards. What do you do with those? And if you're like me, you glance at them. If the promo doesn't hit you at the exact right time where you're in the buying mode for whatever on that postcard, you toss it. And what people miss when it comes to impact is driven through personalization. That's the real key, right? Facebook and Google have really figured this out. It's why they make billions, right? They track everything you do. They build an ad profile based upon you, and they sell that to advertisers, different companies, and they serve up ads based upon your likes and interests, based upon things that you have clicked on or looked at, which is personal to you. You can do this even in print marketing. You can do this by understanding who your target audience is and how do you make your marketing more personal. So I tell people this when it comes to content. Think about the three E's of content: education, entertainment, endearment. Most of the time, real estate agents spend all their time in education. And the problem with that is I don't think about real estate 24/7. I think about it once or when I need to actually buy or sell, which happens, what, every 7-11 years. So you've got to show up for people in the 99% of their life and connect with them there if you want to capitalize in the 1% when they actually need your service. So most people stay in the education, which might be a just listed, just sold, might be a market report, good stuff to send, but you've also got to tap into the entertainment. So why not personalize and go, like one of the things we do is here are the local events that are happening in your area, right? So that's personalized to that target area. If you're going to do education more personalized. So one of the postcards that my brother, I do do for him and his team is they take the recent sales that happened actually in that area and they put it on the postcard and then put that person's address on the postcard and basically go, hey, here's the homes that have sold. Do you want to know what your home at 545 Store Road is worth? And because it's actually personalized right to that target audience, they pay more attention, which ultimately, if people pay attention, you have a chance to get them on your call to action. There was this really interesting survey done on impact when it came to remembering teachers. I don't know if you ever heard this before or not, but it's like, what makes you think about your, like, when you think about your high school teacher that was your favorite or your professor in college, why did you choose them as your favorite high school professor? And what was interesting about this data is not what came back, it's what didn't come back. Nobody said, man, I love Jason, my professor or my high school teacher, because he was an amazing lecturer. Or I love Jason because, man, he just had a PhD next to his name. His credentials were off the hook. Everybody said, man, I love Jason, my high school teacher, because he took a personal interest in my life and cared about where I was going. I share that with people because if you want people to remember you, if you want people to know, like, and trust you, you got to take a personal interest in their life. You need to send entertaining content. You won't get an immediate ROI of someone raising their hand to do a listing, but what you'll get is somebody who feels like you actually care and you're giving them an item of value that they'll tune into. And then the last one, endearment, man, this is an incredible campaign that all agents should do. I don't know when the podcast comes out, but I encourage people to do it around November. Because Thanksgiving and stuff, most people, they do education, they even venture into entertainment. Very few do endearment. And endearment to me is, how do you connect yourself to the community to give back? And so my brother, what we do is we do a postcard campaign to his 4,000 person farm, and it's raising awareness. It's doing a food drive for the local food bank in his area. And what's really cool about this is, here's the key to print marketing, I think. You got to take it from passive to proactive. So he sends out this endearment campaign where it's like, hey, I'm raising awareness for the Agape House here. I want to collect your canned goods. He sends it to his whole farm. It has his branding. But now he has a reason to go knock on the doors. He has a reason to take his passive mailer that goes in the mail as a billboard to go proactive. And he goes, knocks on those homeowners' doors and goes, hey, don't know if you saw my mailer come in. I'm raising awareness for the Agape House. I'd love to connect any canned food that you want to give to them. And he gets to meet the homeowner. And you were talking about psychology. There's this principle in psychology called the halo effect. And it basically means that when you do something good, people take that association that they see you doing and they put it on everything else you do. So what I love about it is, like, if you do this, now you shouldn't give to charity just because of the halo effect, but if you, in marketing, it's powerful that if you give and do something endearing to your community, you can immediately get the halo effect where people associate that with your brand in real estate. And here, I mean, what I've learned over my journey is that people want to do business with businesses of purpose, not businesses of profit, right? They want you to make a profit, but they want you to do business because they believe you have a purpose, because you actually care. And so when I think about, like, your mailing campaign, I challenge people, man, educate, but you want to entertain to connect personally, and then you want to endear to elevate that trust that, hey, I'm here because I have a purpose. I'm not just trying to make a profit off of you.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, I was having this conversation during some coaching sessions recently, talking about your content on social media. And you made the comments earlier on about, hey, if it's just a static advertisement, pick me, 555-5555, call me to sell your house. If it's just the same ad over and over and over again, that's going to get monotonous. That's going to get annoying. That's going to create ad fatigue over time. You have to treat your postcards and your physical marketing like your content. If you made a video every day on social media and all you did is say, pick me, please, to sell your house, and then it was the same video tomorrow, you're basically watching Bill Murray in Groundhog's Day at that point in time, because it's not helping meet the person where they are. And so from a content marketing standpoint, the principle is, hey, it's not about what you want people to know. It's about what they need to know. What do they care about?
Yes.
And then being able to supply that. And I think a lot of people look at postcards and they look at magazines and they think advertisement. I could put the same offer over and over and over again. And they don't treat it the way you're recommending it be treated, which is, this is another extension of your content. And your content is underlying fuel to create consideration. It's about being relational and not transactional. And I think a lot of agents treat it like it's transactions.
I was going to say, I would add to your, because I want people to make sure when they do their mailers, like, you should have consistency of brand. but not necessarily consistency of message from the call to action standpoint, the content standpoint. Because what I have found with mailers specifically is no matter what in marketing, it's a short attention span, right? It doesn't matter what marketing you do, you're trying to capture attention. So like you should have your photo, I'm a firm believer, front and center. We've done a lot of research for our magazine. Like, should you have your photo on the front cover? Should you not? It's like an 84% lift in brand recognition for clients if they have it on the front cover. You need to have your photo, like Steven, when he does this a nonprofit type postcard, right? He still wants his face front and center because it gets that split second of brand recall and they associate it with him. He still wants his colors to be the same. He still wants to be seen. Oh yeah, it's Steven, but he doesn't want the messaging always just to be, want to know what your home's worth? Want to know what your home's worth? Want to know what your home's worth? Because people tune it out. And so I just wanted to make that delineation of you want your brand to be there, but the messaging to change content-wise.
Same is true in your video strategy. I've used the example before, like, hey, if you watch a TV show like the TV show Friends, every episode's different, but we all know it's Friends. It's the same set.
Yes.
It's the same characters. There's a level of repetition because repetition creates memory or remembrance. And so it's like you said, you want that brand association and you're getting fleeting attention. I would also add, since we're geeking out on some of the underlying science and psychology behind marketing, I believe showing the face is paramount. If you look at neuroscience, there's two different parts of your brain that discern objects versus faces. If I see like this little remote for my light right here, it's a different part of my brain that says, oh, it's a remote for my light right there, than when I look at your face. When I look at your face, it's a higher functioning part of my brain. And so when you put your face in your marketing, you are invoking a higher brain power of computing who you are and creating a tighter association for your brand. So I agree. A couple of things as we run a little low on time, and I want to make sure we hit some rapid fire stuff here. You talked about the importance of personalization. You talked about the importance of a varied message, yet consistent brandy elements. What are, like, let's go rapid fire. What are some other best practices or core approaches that are effective right now when it comes to the tactics of physical marketing, like postcards and letters and flyers and magazines? What else?
You know, the principle of KISS, keep it simple, stupid, is so critical in mail. So you want to keep it very, very simple when it comes to your text on your direct mail. And you want to make it so people don't have to think when they're reading what you're asking them, right? So a lot of times I see mailers that have just too much on them. And you can have more when it's just a content-based card. Maybe you're doing the entertaining thing. But when it comes to when you're trying to get a response, like a CMA or something like that, you want one big headline and the rest to be just the call to action, basically super simple. Another thing I would point out is that, you know, I mentioned omnipresent marketing. You want to tie direct mail to online. So the tech is there today to do it. So with your direct mail, you can put QR codes on your direct mail. 36% of phones right now are scanning a QR code at least once a week, right? So it's a common practice in today's world. So have QR codes, you could do that. You could have a unique phone number. You can get a Google phone number and put it on your actual direct mail because a lot of people struggle with tracking, right? And I know we talked about that a little bit before we got on. You can get a specific number just for those campaigns. If you're really like proactive, get a unique URL for each postcard, which basically when they go to see what their home's worth, they don't even have to fill out the form because you know that URL was hit. You can track your analytics and go, this URL was hit, so I know I sent this URL to 1100 First Avenue. So chances are Jason's the one who hit it. I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to call Jason and follow through on that lead.
So let's get into some tactics there for a second, because we've talked about this in prior episodes. Earlier in the year, Tom was sharing a principle of home valuation offers through postcards and using a unique postcard printed for every respective address so that if they scan the QR code, or in your case, if they click the unique link, we know who did it. Even if they don't fill out the form attached, we know they're the only ones. That house is the only one with that specific QR code, or that address is the only one that got that specific website. And you also talked about your brother who's using, he's personalizing with the actual address. Talk to us about how that's approached through the lens of working with printers, because that would mean getting literally every postcard printed differently. So what does this audience need to understand about that?
Yeah, so you can find print companies that will basically create the unique pearls for you, these personalized URLs for you, so you don't have to worry about actually setting up 100 different landing pages or something like that. The print companies will do that for you, especially if you go to a marketing company. There's a lot of them out there that will do that for you. In terms of like tactic-wise, that I would also encourage you to do if you find that someone actually, you know, clicks on that, is the key is you have to do the outreach. And I think that's where people fail, and they don't know how to make that call, or they don't know how to reach out. And I always tell people, one, being direct is the best approach, you know, so basically sharing with people, hey, I sent you some information, you know, I think you might have been able to check it out, just want to follow up and see if you are able to check it out. Or you can use leverage of the area of going, hey, I'm getting so many requests right now from this area of figuring out, hey, what their home is worth. And you can use a leverage piece of information that this listing sold down the road or whatever it is there. But I just see the reason why I wanted to get that in there is because I see so many clients, they have people that maybe click on their link, or they have people that, you know, have responded, but they haven't gone all the way, and they're too nervous to do the outreach because they feel like they can only outreach if the form is fully filled out. And I wouldn't have a business today for my own business of growing Reminder Media if I did not reach out to people who have filled out forms and turned them into clients.
I love the one twist, like, hey, I'm reaching out because you haven't filled it out and so many others in the interest are taking up on the offer, and I wanted to make sure you didn't miss the opportunity as a reason for reaching out. And another principle that seems to be just, you know, a thread running through this continuously is you can't rely on just the postcard. The postcard's job is designed to spark a dialogue, spark a conversation. It can't just be one form of marketing. It can't be one thing. It has to be all things leading to conversations. I wonder if you can elaborate on what are some of the mistakes you see most regularly when it comes to physical marketing for agents' businesses. Because let's face it, it's cost prohibitive. Sending postcards is a lot more expensive than boosting a post on Facebook. I'd love for you to talk to us about, okay, reframe that perspective for our viewer, and then also talk about mistakes that you're seeing that make it so cost prohibitive.
So I think the biggest mistake is that the quality of your marketing will be always determined by the quality of your list, the quality of your target audience. And most people don't spend enough time thinking about who they're marketing to before they market. So in choosing your list, so if you choose a geographic farm, did you even look at the turnover rate of that area before you farm to it, right? If houses aren't moving in that area, you know, that's a huge red flag. So that's one piece, but I would really encourage just to maybe hone in on your database for a second, is going, man, look at your database from a marketing perspective. And the biggest thing that I would encourage people to do when it comes to making your direct mail effective is you've got to utilize and set up your direct mail to allow you to have a conversation. And the only way you can do that is to personalize your direct mail to where it gives you a reason to call. And so the reason why our magazine, people always ask, how does a customizable magazine work in today's day and age? And how have you been doing it for so long? It's because when I talk to people about it, I say, hey, you're doing a nice quality piece of mail to this person that's perceived as a gift. But the real thing it gives you is it gives you the opportunity to have a conversation. And we know real estate's a contact sport. So if I send Jason my customized magazine, I'm picking up the phone and going, hey, Jason, was thinking about you today, brother. I just got my latest issue of Good to Be Home. It reminded me I'm sending it to you as a gift. Want to make sure you got it. My wife, Megan, and I, man, we made the blueberry pancake recipe last week and it was phenomenal. You should make it. I get it. Now use the magazine as a non-salesy reason to call. And if I'm sending it to my database, right, from a marketing standpoint, you got to think, okay, how do I take the conversation and turn it into a funnel to where I can potentially get a referral or potentially get a lead? And I teach people all the time that, hey, when you call people based upon your mailer that you've done, you always want to first, hey, catch up. Hey, here's the reason I sent it to you, the magazine. And then you go, hey, man, you know, how's your work been going for you? How's life at XYZ? Because hopefully you're documenting that in your CRM. When you ask somebody how their job's going, how their work's going, their natural response is to answer and then ask you, well, how's your job going? And that gives you a perfect transition line to go, oh, man, the market's super interesting right now. But I mean, I have a lofty goal for my business this year. I want to help 25 families find their home. And when I think about the people I love to work with, not to be funny, Jason, man, if I could work with 25 yous, it'd be amazing. Do you know anybody that... maybe I could reach out to. Maybe they're not looking right today to buy or sell, but my business, I build it off of relationships. Would love to send them my magazine. And that's the magic. Like, the magic is in, you do a mailer, whether it's a postcard, a magazine, whatever you end up doing, but you've set up your mailer with a campaign in mind to be proactive behind that mailer, to use it as your reason to reach out. So if you tie it back to the example I gave with my brother of the Agape House, right? He did a mailer for a good thing, but he tied it to a reason to have a conversation. And business is on relationships. Relationships about getting to know people. Getting to know people's about conversations. Marketing should set you up to have conversations.
There's a second benefit. It's not just to have the conversation, but you also did a little switcheroo, because generally somebody would say, I want to help 25 folks buy or sell a house this year. And then who do you know who's looking to buy or sell? Instead, you said, I want to give them my item of value. Mm. And it reminds me of something Jay Baer says: to make your marketing so useful, people would pay you for it. When was the last time you could look at your marketing and say, this is an item of value to be given? Because most people think about their marketing as advertising. I don't think about marketing like that. I think about marketing as the message that needs to be given to an audience that you're working and you're cultivating and you're trying to build relationship with. And if you have marketing like that, then it's a gift and it's a touch point and it's a way to spark a dialogue. I know we're going long. I want to circle back to something you said earlier in the podcast, because I think it was super critical and it was important. The marketplace has shifted. We're seeing longer timeframes. You know, during the unicorn years, as David Childers at KCM refers to them, during the pandemic, everybody was buying and selling. I mean, if you looked at the number of people who were in market to buy or sell, the percentage was really high. You could almost go to a Walmart parking lot and hand out business cards and say, are you thinking about selling your house? And as luck would have had it, you would have found somebody in a marketplace that was, you know, characteristic of the unicorn years. But now we're seeing much more normal timeframes. The market is more difficult. There's fewer sales happening, and yet we still have lots of agents. And so your comment was the three E's. You talked about entertainment, you talked about endearment and education. Now, pushing back a little bit, I'm a huge fan of education. So I often recommend or suggest to agents, hey, when you break down what you sell, we know this is a relationship business, not just a transaction-based business, but if you reverse the question, what do you sell, and you instead ask, what is it people are hiring you for? What's the basis for why they hired you? They'll say stuff like, well, I trusted you. Well, what's that predicated on? Well, they trust you because of your expertise and experience. At the end of the day, if you were going to fill in the blank, what do you sell? It's your expertise to help folks buy, sell, and make the best possible decision in your market area. And your competence may be lifestyle. It may be the numbers game of real estate. That's up to you and your unique DNA as a realtor, but it's your expertise. At the same time, what you say is true. If your expertise is being delivered across all your mediums, not just your postcards, but also even in your videos and your emails, if it's always informing from a transactional mentality, you might have to pull back a little bit, because not everybody is in the market the way they once were, but you don't want to pull back to the point where you're a secret agent. And I want to be careful. I want to tiptoe through how I talk about this, because I in no way, shape, or form want to encourage people to deviate away from presenting themselves as the consummate real estate professional. I talk a lot about there's personal you, there's professional you. Well, in today's day and age, there's one you, personal and professional all the time. And so I want to just circle back, and I'm trying to even formulate the question for you. I want to circle back and expand more on this idea of how do you use your postcards? How do you use the magazines, the flyers, the videos, the emails, and all your marketing as an instrument to carry out a conversation across a longer sales cycle? Does that make sense where I'm coming from?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And kind of to step back on the question, I totally agree with you that nobody will work with you if they don't trust you. People want to buy from people they look up to, not people they look at or people they look down upon, someone that knows more than them. But you can never get them to pay attention to your expertise unless they first like you as a person. They have, like, what Tony Robbins will say is commonality. Like is probably the wrong word. It's just when you use no, like, and trust. but this whole rapport building is that's what really, because when you think about, like, to give an example of why did you choose the doctor you chose or the dentist you chose, did you really do your research to find out that they were the very best dentist, or was it convenience and that they were the most known and you maybe got referred to them? And as a real estate agent, it's very similar. When I think about postcard marketing specifically and like an education campaign, I agree with you 100%. Over a long period of time, you should be building some type of, call it story, narrative. Like an example would be, maybe you want to convince people that renting is not the best way, that they should own a home. And so you have a 8x8 campaign, which is one mailer a week for 8 straight weeks to a multifamily complex, teaching them the benefits of why they shouldn't rent and why they should buy. That I 1000%, we have people that do those types of campaigns all the time, agree with, because you're building a storyline over 8 weeks and just building that pain and building that pain and building that pain. And you're touching, the reason why I think a campaign like that works is because you're hitting them with something personalized. They do rent, so it's very personal to them. Right. And if you've done your, and then you're inflicting different ways of showcasing, I would say, a pain or a desire that you can fulfill to them that would bring that to fruition. When I look at your 26 touchpoint campaign that I was talking about earlier, and I think about that in your journey, I go, when you do your content, I still believe 60% of your content is going to be educational content. But most people, they're doing 80-90% of their content is educational. And I go, well, the problem with that is that nobody is going to tune in to get to know you as the person. So a simple example would be our holiday issue of the magazine. We encourage people to put family photos on there, not just professional headshots. You can do this for postcards too. Do a family photo. If you've never done this, right? If you don't have kids, if you have pets, do a photo with you and your pets. You will be blown away how you will connect to your audience more. Everybody who has a pet will instantly be connected to you more. Everybody that has kids, when they see you, or wow, I didn't realize Jason had kids. I didn't realize Jason was married. They immediately connect to you more. And so it's like, that's what I'm encouraging is going, hey, look, you got to humanize yourself in this 26 touch points, because that's what ultimately is going to get people to even remember your education, because they actually see you as a person.
I think there's so much truth to that. It's no like trust, but trust has two sides. It's personal trust and professional trust. And I'm thinking about a podcast with Mark Davidson, the creative director of 1000 Watt, that we did with Tom Ferry. And he talked, and it's a 90-minute podcast. I can't do it here. But it was such a powerful conversation on what is a brand. Mm. And a brand, I'm trying to paraphrase it in a very succinct way, a brand has a belief that transcends beyond. There's a certain set of values that a brand possesses. And I think I think you have to also be careful that you don't assume educational content is necessarily impersonal. It doesn't have to be. Got to talk about personal and professional. And the way I look at it is it's both. And you can't be a secret agent, but you can't be so salesy all the time where you're just trying to get business. It has to be that relationship-based mindset. And I love the example of the kids, the dog. I think humanizing yourself certainly makes a lot of sense.
I think an example to drive it home for everybody, because maybe we've all seen this. Have you ever come across a real estate agent's Instagram and it's always just their recent listings and there's no engagement, right? Everybody, and it's like there's no engagement, but yet you scroll down their feed and you see the one personal photo they post and that has, you know, 50 likes and all the others have 2 likes. And it's like, hey, you need to do that, the listings, because you'd be crazy not to, but you also got to do the more personal. It's like the same concept applies, because humans are the same. The medium's different. And you got to use that medium to connect on human emotion through that process. So I that's maybe a parallel example for like social that maybe drives it home.
We have to do part two of this. We could go all day and we should completely geek out on some of the underpinning thinking, because I do think a lot of agents are looking for a blueprint when it comes to just do this for your videos, for your postcards, for your marketing. But until you can really consider, well, who am I marketing to? What matters to them and where are you based? And let's talk about you. There's always the level of, it's not just personalizing to the customer, but also personalizing to who you are, because it's like Tom says, your vibe attracts your tribe. And something you said that I think we can wrap up here with is you talked about a lot of agents make the mistake of not carefully curating the list. I've got an expression I've used with clients before, and it's meant to be provocative. It's to work the list, not just the leads. And a lot of agents will work their leads, but they don't work the list. And when you look at the reality of how most deals come together in real estate, it's list-based marketing, it's referrals, it's repeat, it's being in front of people on a prolonged basis that they can come to know you and like you and trust you. It's relationship, not transactions. Dude, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for being on today. And let's seriously do a part two. And I want to know, for everybody who's watching or listening, load up these comments with what you learned, what your questions are, what we missed, or what we should talk about on the next episode. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Until next week, this is This Week in Marketing.